Welcome everyone to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayigash. We are close to finishing once again Sefer Bereishis, to being able to say the words Chazak, Chazak, V'nischazek. Not yet, that's Vayechi. We're holding by Vayigash, Bruchim Aboyim. The Shir is said, L'zeche Nishmas U'le'ilei Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel, may their Neshama Torahs have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. It's also said and learned and given, L'zeche Nishmas U'le'ilei Nishmas, Miriam Zlata Bas Reb Moshe Michael. Please keep in mind the name Miriam Zlata Bas Reb Moshe Michael, and Be'ezer Hashem, may her neshama tahira have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. Parshas Vayigash, looking inside your chumashim, please open to Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Mem Hei Chav Zayin. If you have a chumash, fantastic. If not, I'll read the pasuk to you once again. Mem Hei Chav Zayin, Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayigash. The pasuk says that it's at the point after Yosef already revealed his identity to his brothers, and now he wants to send a message to his father. The pasuk says that Vayidabru Elov is kol divrei Yosef. They related to their father all the words that Yosef spoke to them. And then the pasuk says, perhaps for us it's one of the most famous pasukim in all of the Torah, Vayaris ha'golos asher sholach Yosef loseis oisai. He, Yaakov Avinu, saw the agolos, the wagons that Yosef sent loseis oisai to transport him, to come see him in Mitzrayim, v'techi ruach Yaakov Aviem. At that point, the spirit of their father, the spirit of Yaakov Avinu, was revived. Be'ezus Hashem, it is this pasuk, and literally this pasuk alone, that will spend the entirety of tonight's shir. There's a tremendous amount to talk about, but I'd like to speak about two separate inyanim. Number one, let's begin with Rashi. Rashi cites the very famous Medrash. What, pray tell, was it when Yaakov Avinu saw the agolos, the wagons that Yosef sent, and upon seeing the wagons, his spirit became revived? What was it about the wagons? Of course, Rashi tells us, and I'm sure looking around, I'd imagine almost everyone's familiar with it, but everyone, the very famous Medrash, that he wanted his father to see the agolos and understand the message of the agola as an egla arufa, the calf, the egla arufa that's spoken about in Parsha Shoftim. You see, that was the last topic that about two decades earlier they had been learning and studying together. So Yaakov understood, seeing the agolos that Yosef sent, it was to remind him of the last topic they had learned together before Yosef left home approximately 20 years, two decades earlier. And seeing that Yosef remembered what they had learned, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Aviem. The Das Zakenim, if you take a look on this pasuk, Rabbeisai, please, on Shabbos, take a look. After all, we've said many, many times, we learn the Pshatim not only to give chizuk, but to enhance our Kedusha Shabbos. Take a look on Shabbos at the Das Zakenim. The Das Zakenim points out a difficulty with the Medrash. Even though those two words, agola, or agola, he says in wagons, and egla, as in egla arufa, certainly sound similar, and have the same letters, the ayin, the gimel, and the lamed, but they mean two separate things. One, as I told you, is a calf, a reference to egla rufa, but that's not what he sent his father. He sent his father agolos wagons. So Yosef was expecting Yaakov to make that association between the agolos and between the egla rufa just by seeing the wagons? Take a look at the Das Zakenim. He asks it very strongly on the Medrash. While it's true that they sound similar and the letters are similar, They mean two totally different things. One is the Egla Rufa, the sugya that they had been learning 20 years prior, and one is wagons. So how is Yaakov Avinu supposed to see the wagons, and they're seeing the wagons make an association to Egla Rufa? Because they sound similar? The Dazakenim therefore says that the Agolos were not to remind Yaakov about the sugya of Egla Rufa. Rather, it was the Agolos to remind his father about Agolos, about wagons. And Yosef wanted his father to see wagons to remind him about which wagons. If a person takes a look in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Nosai, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk there tells us about the Agolos, the wagons that were used by the Nesiim when the Mishkan was inaugurated. And these Rishonim say that it was this topic that Yaakov and Yosef were studying 20 years prior when Yosef left home. And that's what Yosef was alluding to when he sent the Agolos, the wagons, to bring Yaakov to Mitzrayim. By sending the wagons, he was not alluding to the calf of Egla Rufa, but rather to the Agolos of the sugya that they had learned earlier, referencing the Agolos that Nesiim would use by the inauguration of the Mishkan. And certainly the Daz Kedem says, with that pshat, it makes sense for Agolos were to remind him of Agolos, wagons for wagons. The wagons that Yosef sent for Yaakov to remind Yaakov, indeed the Mepharshim say, that's the sugya that they were learning earlier. Which sugya? The sugya of the Agolos that were going to be donated by the Nesiim when the Mishkan was inaugurated. And when he saw those Agolos, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Aviyam. Why did the spirit become revived? Because he knew that Yosef remembered the other Agolos, referencing the last sugya they had learned together. One has to wonder, though, when he sent his father the wagons, and I heard this pshat from the Lakewood Rosh Hashiva, in the name of the Lakewood Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Rucham Olshan, Zoller Gesundin Starkwein. And I tell you, it's one of my, if you could say, one of my favorite pshatim. So as we say every week, I hope those that are in the Heichel, I'm not responsible for the fact that the air turned on such a cool evening, but on it will remain. For those in the Heichel, for those who are listening now live, and for those who will Bezus Hashem hear the recording when it's sent out, I hope the Divrei Torah will warm up the heart, even if the air is on a cold night. Although I imagine even here in South Florida, it's still warmer than what it is, perhaps in parts of the Northeast. We won't speak about it. We won't want to make anyone jealous. I heard in the name of the Lakewood Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Rucham Olshan Shlita, that he would ask on this Dazakenim. So now you've told me that the Agolos, it's not a reference to Egla Rufa, but it's a reference to Agolos, wagons for wagons. But what was the message that Yosef was conveying? Yes, according to those Mepharshim, it's a reference to what they had been studying, that this is the topic that they were learning when he left home. But was there a deeper message that Yosef was conveying to his father? Was there a deeper hint that Yosef was telling his father, when you see the wagons, and it's to remind you of the wagons that were used by the Mishkan, was there a deeper connection, a deeper hint, something more that Yosef was conveying by referencing those wagons, the ones that I told you are found in Parshas Nosai, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel? Rabbi Yerucham says so beautifully, yes, there was a much deeper message, and Yaakov understood that message when he saw the wagons. Not only that wagons remind of wagons, the last sugya that we learned, but take a look over there in Parshas Nosai, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, where the Pasuk says that Agola al Shnei HaNesiim, 12 heads of the tribes, the Nasi of each Shevet was going to the inauguration of the Mishkan, So if there were 12 Nesiim representing 12 Shvatim, how many wagons would I like? I would assume there would be 12, one for each Nasi, one for each Nasi representing each Shevet. Yet if you take a look, the Sifarno, I have it here in front of me, and please look at it. In other words, you want to look at the Dazakenim on our Parsha, on the Pasuk that I referenced in Vayigash Memhechav Zayin, and now you want to open up to the Sifarno, which is found in Nasi, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, on the words Agola Al Shnei Anesiim, one wagon for two Nesiim. Why? If there was enough funding and enough money, let each Nasi from each Shevet take their own wagon towards the inauguration of the Mishkan, giving a total of 12 wagons. And if you take a look, the Pasuk says, Sheish Eglis Tzav. There were six wagons. Agol Al Shnei Nesiim, one wagon to be shared by two Nesiim. Why? The Sifarno tells us, La'ois achva b'neihem, to show the brotherly love, to show the ava, the achva, the shalom, and the reyus, says the Sifarno, La'ois achva b'neihem. Because when there's achdus amongst brothers, she'tishra shechina b'neihem, she'tishra shechina b'neihem, that's allowing that the Shechina could dwell amongst them. As indeed the Pasuk says in Devarim Lamed Gimel, Vayihi Bishur HaMelech B'Sasef Rosh HaYom Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Oh, that, says Rabbi Yeruchim, is the message that Yosef was conveying and making sure to hint and to allude to with the Agolos to the father Yaakov Avinu. There was, as we read in last week's parasha, amongst the Shvatim, Sina and Kina, hatred and jealousy. Sina from from one dream, and Kina, jealousy from another dream. And then we know what the Shvatim did to Yosef, having put him in a pit and then having him sold, and he ended up in Mitzrayim. At this point, though, once he revealed his identity to his brothers, he wanted their father, Yaakov Avinu, to know, now that's all behind us, what was Sina, what was Kina, now, by the Vayigash, Vayigash is from the word Hagosha, to get close, now all that remains amongst Yosef and his brothers, all of the Shvatim, is La'is Achva b'neihem, the Sholim, the Reyus, the Achva, the Achdus amongst brothers. That, says Rabbi Yeruchim, is why those wagons were sent. Not only to remind Yaakov Avinu that this was the last sugya that we had learned years prior, but these wagons were to send a message to Yaakov Avinu and to convey to him, Yosef wanted his father to know there was amongst us Sina, and there was Kina, and they did sell me, and then I was in the pit, and then they sold me, and there were all those things that happened. But now, of course, we see the Yad Hashem, because now that he was put in the position to be the viceroy in Egypt, that the help now as they start the Golus and Mitzrayim, and we know the rest of the story. He wanted his father, and that's why the Pasuk says there were six wagons for 12 Shvatim. Why did they double up two Nesiim, two Shvatim for one? La'is achla b'neihem, la'is achla b'neihem. To show the love, the shalom, the reyus, the unity and the togetherness. When Yaakov Avinu saw the wagons, and it made him understand that that was the message that Yosef was conveying, Vatechi ruach Yaakov Avim, oy, did the spirit of Yaakov Avinu become revived? There isn't anything that Yaakov Avinu or a father would want more than to know, amongst all the children, there's unity. To be able to get a message to a parent, lois achva b'neihem. And when Yaakov Avinu saw that that was what Yosef was conveying to him, Vatechi ruach Yaakov Avihem. We've mentioned in the past, perhaps that's why when a person is visiting the kever of a parent, if they have a parent that passed away upon leaving the kever, it's true by many Kvarim, but certainly by a parent or by a Rebbe, there's the custom to take a stone and put it on the Kever. Firstly, Evan, as we've said, is spelled Aleph Beis Nun, which stands for Av Ben Neched, father, son, grandchild. Putting the Evan on the Kever is a way of telling the parent, all the generations have Achdus. All the generations lies Achva Beinehem. Perhaps another explanation of why the stone is put on the Kever, based on something that my father, Zatzal, had explained, the night of Tisha B'Av, it's brought down in Halacha, that we know many have the custom that if they sleep usually with two pillows, the night of Tisha B'Av will sleep with one. If they sleep with one, they won't sleep with any. And some people put things under their head to be more uncomfortable. Some bring down that you should put under your head a stone. So my father, Zatzal, would wonder that if you want to make yourself uncomfortable, why a stone? Why not maybe a piece of metal or a piece of wood from a tree that will also make you uncomfortable? So my father, Zatzal, explained so beautifully because a stone, what is an Evan? It's really millions and millions, if not more, particles of dust, particles of sand, millions of different particles that when heated up, comes together as one. That means an Evan is the greatest manifestation of Lois Achva Beinayim Shalom. It was millions and millions of different particles that came together as one. So my father suggested that's why the night of Tisha B'Av you should put under your head a stone. The whole reason that the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was destroyed was because of Sinas Chinam. There was no Achva Beinehem. The Meila Tisha B'Av at night you put under your head a stone to remind yourself figuratively of the lesson of the Evan. What's the lesson of the Evan? The unity, the cohesiveness, everything coming together to become one. Tisha B'Av is the greatest night to show the Ribbono Shel'Olam there's a stone under my head in Evan, not only because of Av Ben Neched, but it's a display and a manifestation of the cohesiveness, which is what we build the Beis HaMikdash since it was destroyed by Sinas Chinam. The Evan represents Avas Chinam. And maybe that's why when a person leaves the grave of a parent, they put on the stone. Not only because the stone represents the generations Av Ben Neched, a continuity of the Messiah, but an Evan represents cohesiveness. An Evan represents unity. An Evan represents what Yosef was conveying a message to his father, La'ois Achla Beinehem. And that's what a parent in this world and a parent in the next world is mispalo for, from their children, from their enekloch, from all of the dairis, lais achla beinehem. I wanted to share with you a maisa that in some ways is such a heartbreaking maisa. I said it many years ago when we had the einig in the house a few Friday nights ago. You were there. I said over this maisa. In the 1980s, my parents, my father and Yibbol Ben Chaim Lechaim, my mother, went on a number of occasions to Russia. At that time, it was extremely dangerous and everything was clandestine. They went on behalf of the Vaad Lahatzlaus Nitzchei Yisrael, the great Rav Mordechai Neustadt. The Vaad Lahatzlaus Nitzchei Yisrael, they had a number of trips there and literally countless stories that are from the most extraordinary you've ever heard. But one story that in some ways is so heartbreaking, on one of their trips, my parents were in a taxi, and the cab driver was looking in the rearview mirror and having a conversation with them about probably multiple things. And at one point, he looked in the rearview mirror and he said these words in Yiddish: "Alle Yidden zenen Brider." "Alle Yidden zenen Brider" means all Jews are brothers. Now, right away, my parents froze. Of course, they had gone through hours, countless hours, tens of hours of preparation to know what to respond to, who to respond to. Is it a trap? Is it from the KGB? What is it? This was serious, serious stuff. Is this cab driver really a Yid who's reaching out to them? Or is it someone who's trying to work on behalf of the government, perhaps the KGB, and it's a trap to go ahead and not only to end their trip prematurely, but Khalil, who knows what could happen to them? So because of all the training, they knew they couldn't respond. 10 or 15 minutes came or went. They were speaking about different things. The cab driver was. And then once again, with a certain look in his face, he looks in the rearview mirror and he says to my parents, "Alle Yidin zenen brider." And once again, the same dilemma I told you a moment ago. Is it a call for help? Is it a cry mimamakim? Or is it a setup? Is it a setup? Is this fellow working on behalf of the government, on behalf of the KGB, looking to frame them, to set them up? And who knows, Rahman al-Islam, what could happen if their identity is uncovered and discovered? Naturally, they couldn't respond because of their dilemma. My parents were brought to the destination, didn't speak anything of the topic. They went to their hotel room. And at one point, my mother was unpacking the luggage, and she turned around. She heard that my father was crying. And turning to my father, she asked him why he was crying. And through his tears, he responded, "I feel the way that Yosef HaTzadik must have felt. I feel the way that Yosef must have felt in the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, before he could reveal his identity to his brothers." His brothers were in front of him. His brothers were in front of him, and it wasn't yet the time to reveal his identity to his brothers. I feel the way that he must have felt. Here was somebody calling out, "Ali Yidin Zenim Breeder." Was it a setup? Was it to frame them? Or was it genuine? Was it a Yid who was calling out and looking me mamakim? But like Yosef HaTzadik, I couldn't respond. I couldn't yet respond. I don't know. What was it? Was it a setup? Was it real? Was it real? Was it a setup? And he cried, for he didn't know. Was it from a Yid that was a genuine call for help? Or was it just the opposite? And they never found out. Like in the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, before Yosef revealed his identity, my father's Atzal, my parents, Yibodim and Chaim Lachaim, were not able to answer the call of Ali Yidin Zenim Brider. Painful and heartbreaking. We put the Evan on the Kever Lois Achva Beinehem. Once Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, he wanted his father to know, look at the Agolois, and to see him shared two for one. Why? Lois Achva Beinehem. Like the Evan, there was the unity. And we as well, today, Baruch Hashem, we have the ability to answer the call of Ale Yidin Zenim Brider. Are we answering that call? Are we answering that call of Ale Yidin Zenim Brider? Reaching out and looking and being there, creating the cohesiveness of La'is Achla Beinehem. How does a person answer the call of Ali Yidin Zenim Brider? By remembering the Agolois La'is Achla Beinehem. Because if you believe amongst Klal Yisrael that there must be the Achva and the Achdus and the Shalom and the Reyes, then you answer the call of Ali Yidin Zenim Brider. If you take a look in the Pasuk, and this is the second thing I wanted to share with the Olam, the Pasuk says, very interesting, the Vayaris HaGolos, Yaakov saw the wagons, Asher Sholach Yosef, Loseis Oisei, that Yosef sent to transport him, the father, to Mitzrayim. Now surely you must have a question, the Mepharshim asked the question. Doesn't the son go to the father and not vice versa? Shouldn't Yosef be going to Yaakov, his father, instead of sending wagons to bring his father to him in Mitzrayim? The son goes to the father, not the father to the son. And yet not only did Yosef send wagons to his father, but apparently the way the Pasuk is reading, the Pasuk is saying, Vayaris HaGolos, it was when Yaakov saw the wagons, Asher Sholach Yosef, that Yosef sent L'seisoisoi, to bring him, to transport him. Oh, batechi ruach Yaakov Avim, that's when his spirit became revived. The implication is almost that it wasn't only the wagons that revived the spirit of Yaakov Avinu, but it was the fact that the wagons were sent to transport him to his son in Mitzrayim. So we really have two questions on the table. Why is it that the son is sending for the father to come to him when the son should go to the father? And more than that, why was it that when Yaakov saw the wagons, to bring him to Mitzrayim, that's what revived his father's spirit? More than just the wagons. The fact that they were going to bring him to Mitzrayim. I remember years ago hearing such an extraordinary pshat, and it's so true for the times in which we live. You're right. Normally the son does go to the father. That's the proper way of kavod. But Yosef knew that's not what my father would want. You see, I know that there's something on my father's mind. I've been separated for about 20 years. I've been in Mitzrayim all of those years. Mitzrayim was the most immoral, debased society. Mitzrayim was a terribly, terribly wicked place, certainly in a place in the realm of being immoral. And I am sure that my father is wondering, did that have an effect on me? Did it change who I am and the way I was brought up in Yaakov Avinu's home, that level of purity? Did that change all these weird? So you're right, Yosef could have gone to his father, but that would not have really told Yaakov Avinu who the true Yosef is. Listen, Rabbi, say, we know that if a person's going somewhere for a one-time visit, we'll get dressed up and we'll put on an excellent impression and we'll give it our best and we'll try our hardest. Is that the true barometer of the true you? Is that the true view of the true you? How you do when you're... I think it's more when you're in the privacy of your home. It's more when you're in your familiar surroundings, when you're with the people that you're very, very comfortable with. How do you behave then? How do you behave then? That's the true view and true barometer of who you are. Yosef would normally go to his father, but Yosef knew that if he goes to his father may wonder, is this the true Yosef? He's coming to me. So maybe what I see, as wonderful as it is this the true view of who he really is? But now I see he's sending wagons, L'seisoisoi, to bring me back to his house, to bring me into Mitzrayim. In other words, he has nothing to hide. He has nothing to hide at all. He's willing to see that I should see him in Mitzrayim. That's a way of understanding that he's telling me that even in Mitzrayim, he was not affected negatively. And we have many rayas to that he was able to raise Ephraim and Menashe. In fact, that's one of the reasons, explanations given, why do we go ahead and give the bracha Friday night to our children? They should be like Ephraim and Menashe. Why not like one of the Shvatim, Ephraim and Menashe, or the next generation? And one beautiful explanation is given, because Ephraim and Menashe were raised by Yosef in Mitzrayim. And despite the fact that it was Mitzrayim and all of the ills and immorality that Mitzrayim represented, Ephraim and Menashe still remained Mikdusha V'Torah, so pure, so angelic, such the holy children. That's the bracha we give our children Friday night, and certainly on Erev Yom Kippurim. That in the world and the environment and society that we are being raised in, where there's such a onslaught keneged the values of our Torah, Rachmana Litzlan, please be like Ephraim and Menashe. Please be like Ephraim and Menashe, who were raised by Yosef in a Mitzrayim, and we're still able to. And that's an achrayus on parents. That's an enormous achrayus on parents. That's why when Yaakov saw the wagons, not merely the wagons, but the wagons were to bring him to Mitzrayim, which is a way that he understood, my son is conveying a message to me. I have no reason to hide anything. You can see me in Mitzrayim. You can see me in Mitzrayim. And this way you'll see the true view of who Yosef really is, that despite the fact that Mitzrayim was as immoral as it was, he still raised his children and himself and kept to such an impeccable level. In fact, in part to Yaakov Avinu, we know we read that when the wife, Eishes Potiphar, tried to get Yosef to commit Naveira, what does the poor Rashi tell us? That he saw the Mustiyukah Shal Ovid. He remembered his father. He remembered the home he was raised in. He remembered the purity. And that kept him, even in Mitzrayim, to be on the level of Yosef HaTzadik. When Yaakov Avinu saw the wagons that were going to transport him to Mitzrayim, and he realized, my son has nothing to hide. My son will let me see him in his own familiar surroundings. His spirit became revived because he understood, Yosef is conveying to me, that's the true Yosef. The true Yosef, despite the fact that he was all those years in Mitzrayim, is still on that level of purity and on that level of righteousness. And as I said, that's why we give the bracha, Ephraim and Manasseh, the overwhelming responsibility to be mechanech our children correctly. When Yaakov Avinu saw that, it revived his spirit. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, "B'makom she'ein anoshim ishtadol liyaisish." This is what Binder Maria said. This is your honor from Rabbi Yehuda said. Poshim pshat b'makom she'ein anoshim ishtadol liyaisish. We always say in English, it means that when there's no one to get the job done, stand up and get the job done. The Maria Asad, the Yehuda Asad in Pirkei Avos translates it differently. B'mokim she'ein anoshim, in a place where people aren't found, meaning when you're not in public and when you're not being seen by people, but b'mokim she'ein anoshim, in a place where people aren't found, it might be in the privacy of your own home, ishtadol liyos ish. You better make sure to be an ish, a mensch, a proper yid, even in a place. Sometimes a person, when they're in public and they're being watched and somebody's looking and they're in the middle and everybody's looking, okay, so we'll be on extraordinary behavior. There'll be an ish, there'll be a mensch. Oh, yes, please, thank you. All the right words, all the right actions, everything correct. No, you go first, please, yes, all the right things. But tell me, when you're surrounded in your home by only your family, maybe one or two people, whoever it is that's in the home, are you still the same ish? Are you still the same mensch? Do you still have the same beautiful midah? Says Maria Sarim Pirkei Avos on this Mishnah. B'moklim she'ein anoshim, when you find yourself in a place where people aren't found, i.e., in your home or in your own familiar surroundings, hishtadol liyos ish, you better make sure there as well, Rabbi say there as well, to be an extraordinary mensch. And it's so true and applicable to every one of us. Sometimes we put our best foot on our best behavior, which is a very wonderful thing if it's some genuine and sincere. But then when we're in a place where people aren't found, when we're in our own home, when we're with our spouse, when we're with our siblings, whoever it is, I once pointed out that the word family and familiar are very much the same letters. While it's a tremendous blessing that with our family we are most familiar, but sometimes when you become so familiar, a lot of the ish, the yashrus, the menschlichkeit disappears, and that's a terrible thing. A person has no right to be that ish or that mensch only on the outside but not on the inside. B'mokim she'ein anoshim, even when you find yourself with the family that you're most familiar with, ishtadol liyos ish, that's where the pleases and the thank yous and the appreciation of Hakaras HaTov is most important. And that's why Yaakov and any father, any parent would be revived to see that my child maintained those values and those levels. That explains so beautifully when a man puts on tefillin and he wraps around his middle finger three times, Ve'irastich li la'olam. There's an expression of wanting to be engaged with the Ribbono shel Olam forever. And you have to wonder, Ve'irastich li la'olam? You're not engaged forever. Engagement is for however long it is, a number of months, and then there's nisuin. The point is to be married forever, not engaged forever. So why do we say the lashon ve'erastich li'li'olam? It should be married forever, not engaged forever. We'll conclude with this very beautiful pshat. Of course we wanted the relationship with our spouse and with our chaveim, and of course with the Ribbono Shel'olam, it should be marriage forever. But you see, during the time of the engagement, there's a certain awe, a certain reverence, a certain feeling, a unique feeling during the time of the engagement. And very often during the marriage, those feelings are to that extent, both in quantity and quality, is not there. There are other extraordinary feelings during marriage. But during the engagement, that awe or that reverence or that unique feeling sometimes is only there during the Erusin by the Nisuin very often, or sometimes those unique feelings may not be there. So we're saying, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to us, let our relationship be one where we're married forever, but in a fashion of Erusin, in a fashion of engagement. In other words, to be married for 120 gesunte years, like the entire time of Erusin. And therefore we say, ve'erastich li'olam, let it be in the suin of marriage la'olam, but in the fashion of Erusin, with the beauty, the sparkle, the awe, the reverence, the uniqueness that's only there by the Erusin, let that be there during the Nisuin forever. And that's true in all of our relationships, with the spouse, with chaveir, with family, with people that we have in our life. Not to take anyone for granted. Not to become so familiar that that ish is forgotten and becomes a thing of the past. Not to allow the Erusin to be something that's only in the rearview mirror and doesn't exist anymore. I wish us all a bracha. Just as it says by Yaakov Avinu, that when he saw Loseis Oisa, he saw the wagons, oh, my son Yosef has nothing to hide. He's willing for me to see him even in Mitzrayim because he remained the same. It was the entire time ve'erastich li'olam. It was the entire time that even though Mitzrayim was the b'mokum shein anoshim, it was still hishtadol li'yos ish. Oh, when the parent sees that the child, that's the true view of the family. We should talk all b'zoicha to be stellar role models, to be able to inculcate that chinuch, to make sure that the purity, the Taras HaKadosh always remains, that the unity and cohesiveness in the family remains. Lois Achva Beinayim, the biggest brachas we could ask for. Now we should be zeicha that the menschlichkeit and the proper behavior be in all situations amongst everyone. Imagine if in all of our relationships that it would be ve'erastich li'olam, with that awe and that reverence, that respect, that uniqueness for all time. Let's talk of b'zoicha. So now that we're reading about the Agolos and reminding us of the Mishkan, it shouldn't just be a reminder, but the lois achva b'neihem and the remaining on the level of purity will bring us to the final even, that of the avonim, the stones of the Bayis Shlishi. B'mheira b'yameinu, amen.